You might like to turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. In our study of Jeremiah, just starting here as we go back to that, remember we've been looking at God's wonderful provision for the future of Israel, that God is going to be their God in a most wonderful and real and wonderful way. And it requires a relationship to God that understands He's God. And you know in Genesis 1:1, God gives His word, in the beginning, God. That's a little word, G-O-D. But G-O-D, of all the big names and all the big words in all of the dictionary, in all of the world, all of those big words, all of a sudden are made to be, to help, to understand. The little word, G-O-D, is bigger than all the big words. All the big words yield to the G-O-D, God, in a most wonderful way. God, and even to say His name, I am that I am, I am. Three little letters, I am. Wow. Now, so it makes a big difference on who we know and how we relate to who we know. And therefore, Israel and us humans are to understand that God is our Creator. And there's no way apart from His Word, apart from creation, as we shared on Sunday and now, God's wonderful creation everywhere and everything reflects His wonderful ability to create marvelously. Birds, bugs, bees, stars, moon, wow. He can do it. He's something else. So, but to really understand Him requires His Word. God is the Word become flesh in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word become flesh is the source of all the words in your Bible, as it were. God gives His Word. And we have His words. He tells all the words are inspired, God breathed. In other words, God supervised, and it was very much involved in the Bible and the original language. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, we want God, we need to understand and honor You. That's why we have the Bible. Without the Bible, the Book of Mormon isn't going to help us, and Science of Mind isn't going to help us. And we can go all over the place to read 1,000 books, but they won't help us. God says who He is simply and plainly by way of the Scriptures, think of Sunday, by way of the Scriptures, so that we know, we don't have to guess about God. And so therefore we have a wonderful, we're to have a wonderful understanding of God. His fear, and picking it up chapter again where we were, 28, Deuteronomy, in the list of the long cursings from 15 and onward, verse 15, go over to verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written, underline in your mind, that are written in this book, purpose that thou, what's the whole purpose of the Bible? To get us to know and appreciate God properly. Not to have God, a little God, not a man-sized God, not a God as we would conceive as best we could in our humanity, God. We want to get a glimpse of God, to understand God in His marvelous person. Therefore, These are written in this book that thou mayest fear. Fear, to have trembling, to quaking, to be afraid, to be awed, to reverence, to be awed by the awfulness of the awesomeness of God. God is awesome. He is to be feared, reverenced, highly esteemed. That thou mayest fear this glorious, and there's your little word again, fearful name, the Lord thy God. Wow. To appreciate God, to understand and enjoy, who are we knowing? Who are we to be knowing? Who is saving us? Who is helping us? Who are we? We are always in his presence. Always. In whose presence? God's presence. How are we going to appreciate God? We're going to understand him better. That is, we understand we are in God's presence. / That is, we fear God and understand his awesome person. We look at us humans, and then we look at God. And God, infinitely higher than us finite creatures. Now, having said that, the fear of God, and looking at that, keeping that in mind if we can. So, we're to fear God's holy name, and Exodus 20 tells us to make nothing from any creation. Concerning God. God created, the things that are created are not God. And when we come, Exodus 20, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then we God adds, Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is. He is who he is. The fear of God. To appreciate God for who he is. Not to have a literal view of God. No, we want to have a biblical view of God. So therefore, having said that, over to Isaiah 40. And in Isaiah chapter 40, you would recall God's encouraging Israel to trust God for a wonderful outworking of his plan for their life. And when we come to picking up the thought, if we can, and all of its wonderfulness, verse 15, 40 and 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, are counted as the small dust in the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Wow. The nations are a drop. So how big is God? Well, God said the nations, all of them, are just a drop in a bucket. Here's the Roman Empire. Here's Russia. Here's China. Here's America. And all of us are just a drop. Well, now, sliding down, if I can, verse 18. To whom, then, will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? So we're going to fear God, so we got to appreciate God, or else we aren't going to be honoring God, and we can't enjoy his wonderful person. Because we aren't understanding his person. Over to chapter 40, and slide over, if I can, over to verse 25. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? But, verse 26, a little context, lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. And here's all the galaxies. And we mentioned on Sunday the new John Webb telescope up there, off of Mars, up there in space, and they're putting all the, they haven't solved it, they're getting all this information of the stars, and you know, and they look at the galaxy, they aren't looking at stars. They see these little specks that are galaxies, like our galaxy. They see the little speck galaxies, and they see the blue wave, light waves, and then they see the red light waves, and they're baffled because the universe is bigger than they thought. They didn't realize the universe was that big. See, God made all those stars galaxies and called them all by name. Well, God, who is like unto me? Now, having that, keeping that in mind, and you would recall when we did all these, this little thing we're on, where is your fear? And we talked about Job, and God picked Job to illustrate and educate. And he picked Job because Job feared God. He was a man that feared God. He actually lived his life on earth, and he was a God-fearer. That's what he was. And God blessed him in a most wonderful way. And God put him through the exercise of the College of Hard Knocks to the nth degree, as you know in the book of Job. And then at the end, Job awakens, he already knows God, trusts God. And he says, God, what can I say? I abhor myself in dust and ashes. I see myself as nothing. All of a sudden, I thought I understood your magnificence, and I haven't even started to understand it. God, you are something else. Well, he feared God, and he feared the better. He feared the more God, trusting God in all of his heart. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, go with me, please, and over to where you were, just to make sure we're connecting the dots. Over to Psalm 86 again. And remember what we shared together last time, that David had a wonderful sense of God, and that's why God blessed David. And we shared together in Psalm 86, and picking up, please, in verse 11. David said, I'll read verse 10 for context, for thou art great and doest wondrous things, thou art God alone. There's no one else like you. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart, till you bring my heart into a oneness, into a sameness, into a togetherness. Unite my heart. For what reason? To fear thy name. How could I ever enjoy your wonderful person unless I understand the magnificence of who you are, because it's who you are that you created us. We are in your image and likeness, Genesis 1, 26, 27. God, as I understand you, I'll see how wonderful we are, fearfully and wonderfully made, because I see you. If I make you little, I'm little. But as I begin to see your glory, all of a sudden our littleness becomes able to enjoy God's infiniteness. Well, now, having said that, unite my heart to fear thy name. So, in the light of that, in the light of who he is, in God's wonderful great, God is to be great to me, great for me. Why? So that I might fear and reverence his holy name. I might have a holy, heavenly, awesome, awful awesomeness of his awe to result, which it results in, the transferring of that knowledge of who he is to my heart, and I begin to enjoy his wonderful person personally. I enjoy the relationship, and the more I enjoy the relationship, the more I enjoy the relationship. It just keeps becoming better. So therefore, God, as we're going down the corridor of time. So Israel failed. Israel didn't do well in its relationship to God. They didn't. They just didn't do it. They should have. And what you know from Deuteronomy and 5 and all that, 29, they had no heart for God. They were going to be there. They would fill the seat. They would say whatever and do, but they had no heart. That's what happens in Revelation 2, the church in Ephesus. What happened? What made the church born in Acts chapter 2 with all of its magnificent glory to represent our Lord Jesus Christ? What happened? The church in Ephesus, the beginning, what did they do? They lost their first love. They lost the best. And they were there, mechanically doing everything, but had no heart. And therefore, there was no growth. There was no magnificence to it. There was no wonder to it. And there has to be a wonder to it, you know. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Way above, I say, you got it? God, I want to know. God's awesome. Otherwise, I'm a dull guy. You know, I want to know. God's wonderful. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, God's awesomeness, and Israel didn't do well. So Deuteronomy, slide through history, over to Malachi chapter 1. And in chapter 1. How did Israel do? They're going, this is the last book, the last prophet before John the Baptist, etc. Here's Malachi, and God, here's Israel at the end of the Old Testament, and their condition is not good. So Malachi chapter 1, picking up please, in verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, ruler, where is my fear? Where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name? And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name, etc.? What? Where is my fear? You don't fear me. And that's the general nation of Israel. But when we come to the end, there was always a little remnant that was going to honor. So God, when you're going to close the Old Testament, as it were, chapter 3, you would recall, God reminds you that they aren't fearing God, But there's a lady over here, a man over there, a boy, a girl that does. And God takes note of the 8 billion plus people, and God takes note of the believers that fear him. That fear him. He takes note of the believers that fear him. Now, so therefore, chapter 3, verse 16, then they that feared, there's a little word, the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them. That, there's your word, that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And sliding down, verse 17, how does God value those that fear his name? And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Remember the word jewels there in verse 17 is the word special treasure. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 4 and 5, God, Israel is to be his special treasure above all the nations of the world. These few little fearing people at the end, God points them out. I know them. They're part of my treasure. They're part of my special treasure. See? But no one fears. But some do. God said, where is your fear? Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you can, special treasure. Over, if I can, to Isaiah again. And on our way back to Isaiah, I'll stop at chapter Jeremiah. Jeremiah and chapter 32, where we were and what we've been looking at. And in chapter 32, picking up in verse 39, I will give them one heart and one way. Remember, we did each of these so that we can see and have the advantage of what they missed and we should be having. I will give them one heart and one way. Why? That they may fear me forever. For the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, verse 40. And that I will not, N-O-T, turn away from them to do them good. But what are you going to do to guarantee that, God? But I will put my fear, the wonderful, wonderful person that I am, I will put my fear in their hearts that they may not depart from me. There is no other God. That's what they're going to say, the disciples. Are you going to leave? And he said, no. They said, no. There is no one else but you, God. We got to hang on to the course, finish the course, because you're the only one. Now, having said that, now over to Isaiah. That's the future, wonderful future. They're going to have a fear of God as a nation, not just at Malachi, handful of people that fear God. That whole nation is going to fear God in the kingdom. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, Isaiah chapter 33. And in Isaiah and chapter 33, he's speaking of the kingdom to come, where all of that's going to be for real. They're going to fear God's name. They're going to have one heart, one way. They're going to fear God's name. Going to be good for everybody. Good. Chapter 33, speaking of that kingdom. Verse 5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. What's going to make the millennium? I will put my fear in their heart. That's the treasure. To rightly understand and enjoy God. That's the treasure. The fear of the Lord is the treasure. I want to have the fear of the God. Wow. Now, keeping that in mind, that's a wonderful future. And in the light of that, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Wow. Now, God, here's Israel's kingdom. And Israel's plowing along. And in the process, as it does and goes along, and remember now, they're to be believing all the way down through history. And you know Noah believed God. And in Hebrews 11, you have to turn there. And Noah believed God, he feared God. What did his appreciation of God do? In the days of Noah, he's going to build an ark. And an ark is like a battleship. And I suppose you could go, isn't it like a battleship? Steve's been on the ark. Not when it was then, but now. Isn't it? Big. Now if you can just think of, here you are, little old Noah with your three sons. And it's never going to rain. It's never rained. It's impossible. What am I building this thing for? What am I building this monstrous thing? It's going to take me 120 years. What am I going to do? That's not good. Why did he do it? He feared God. God, whatever you got in mind, it's pretty big. And it's going to be bigger than this thing I'm building. Wow. And Noah believed God because he feared him. And that's why he built the ark. He had a respect for God to do, and you and I, here's we have all the stuff we do up in Maine and different places, you know, where they built the ships, big ships, and do those things. Oh, with it. And you and I just have to understand there. Looking, here we are looking at the trees and everything. We're going to build something like a battleship. Do you know how impossible that is to think of it? And as you're building it, it's so huge. Why would Noah keep doing that? He feared God. He, God, whatever you got in mind, I can build this awesome ship, boat. I can build it. And it's big. But God, whatever you got going, he feared. And Abraham walked with God. Genesis 17, 1 and that. Fear me. He walked before me. How did Abraham ever make it? He feared God. That's what he did. So now, in the like of Isaiah, over if I can to Isaiah chapter 8. And in Isaiah in chapter 8, picking up, if I can. And remember what's happening in chapter 8. The king, the 10 tribes in the north, and plus Syria, just above him, have combined together to attack the two tribes in the south. That's what they're going to do. The 10 tribes in the north plus Syria are going to attack the two tribes in the south. And so, here we are looking, and the concern, what are we going to do in the light of the pending war? And so therefore, they started to look to Assyria, which is up there, Assyria up here, and they're going to look to Assyria to put and ally with them to protect them. That's the setting. They're wrong. They shouldn't do that. And the whole context, chapter 7 and 8. What are they going to do? God said, don't do that. God said, I'll take care of it. So therefore, but Here's Isaiah telling the people, relax and don't worry. But verse 10, 8 and 10, take counsel together, it shall come to naught. Speak the word, it shall not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not, it's a confederacy, it's treason. In other words, what Jeremiah was saying, don't trust Assyria. And the people said, you're speaking treason. You don't care about the nation. Isaiah did care about the nation, but you aren't going to save the nation by way of Assyria. Saying, a confederacy, treason to them, to whom this people shall say, a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. They're all afraid of what's going to happen in the war, and they don't want, and as Isaiah says, we don't need Assyria. We don't need them. We don't need them. Not an ally. We don't need them. And then they're all afraid. They're all afraid. And Jeremiah says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Verse 12. Verse 13, I should say. Sanctify, set apart the Lord thy God of hosts himself, and let him be your, what? Fear. Don't be afraid of the big giant army. Don't be afraid of the war. Don't be afraid, and then you fill it in. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. How am I not going to be afraid? There's plenty to be afraid of. Sanctify, set apart in your heart. Verse 13. Set apart, sanctify the Lord God himself in your heart. Single God out. Don't let God get squashed. Here's all the problems, and here's all the thoughts, and here's all the people in your mind. Here's the Assyrians, and here's the 10 tribes in the north, and here's all the different things in your heart and head. Know what's in the middle of the pile? God. Where do we put God? In the middle of all these thoughts. And all of the thoughts are bouncing God all around. Sanctify, set apart God in your heart. Get him back out of that mess that you're thinking. God is not part of the system. God is not part of your thinking. God isn't the, don't lose God in the process of, because you got, what about this? And I say, God, you're wonderful, but what about this? And God, what about, and then we do that. And I lost God. Sanctify the Lord God and let him be your fear. Single him out. There's no one like him. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. No one like him. You can't please him without the fear of God. Well, understanding who he is. God isn't a little midget. He isn't a magician. He doesn't do magic tricks. He's God. He's God. He doesn't have a problem. But I don't want to lose that. That's what Israel is warned. Verse 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Dread. If you're going to be, you quiver and quake before God. And let everyone else take the proper place, if you would, in all that's going to be. So, having said that, and understanding that, thou God, if I can, trusting God, sanctifying God, looking to God, and in the process, I need to do that, tying that so you see it, another little window to see it, Isaiah 51. Isaiah chapter 51. And may I pick up in thought in verse 11, 51:11. So you see it, I'm comparing. Don't be afraid of man or what they can do and not do. 51:11. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. They aren't going to be sorrowful. They're going to be happy campers. Verse 12, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Remember, let sanctify the Lord God, let him be your fear. Verse 12, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou should be afraid of man that should die? And everyone you're afraid of is going to die. Everything you're afraid of is going to die. The elephant's going to die. The rattlesnake's going to die. Every human being you know is going to die. They're frail, like the grass of the field. I'll read it again. That thou should be afraid of man that shall die, and the son of man which shall be made as grass. Remember, what are you doing? You're comparing God with your problem. Here's your problem. Here's whatever you're looking at. And there's God. If you've got a little God, your problem can be pretty potent. But if God's God, there is no such problem. There can't be. There's nothing. He's the creator. He's God. And therefore, don't be afraid. And, verse 13, and forgettest the Lord thy maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury, and you have feared every day because of the fury of the oppressor. In other words, the problem, the enemy, the thing you're afraid of, the thing you get all wound up about. Every day, there it is, as if it were ready to destroy you. And where is the fury of the oppressor? It isn't there. You're worrying. Remember what Matthew 6 and verse 34. Sufficient today is the evil thereof. It's enough problems today. Don't add tomorrow's. What are you saying, God? We have all about this problem. It's going to get you. And it never happens. Think of all the things you worry about that could happen, right? That fortunately didn't happen. But you thought about, oh, maybe I got this. Remember, here's the doctor's report, you know. Here's the doctor's report. And the doctor says you got some big word. And then you start thinking of 7,000 things that means. And I mean, maybe it's in my head, maybe it's in my toes. Well, what's my problem? And you're worried about 1,000 things. Don't do that. Sufficient is enough today. And the oppressor never happens. It never, never happens. It just didn't happen. You thought it would happen, but it didn't. So don't worry about things that aren't there. And the thing that is there in this case is Assyria. But don't worry about Assyria. You don't have to worry about Philistines. It's the Assyrians. So just think of the Assyrians. And God said, I'm bigger than the Assyrians. Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, sanctify the Lord God in your heart in a most, most wonderful way. So, over now, if I can, 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians in chapter 7, you would recall and here's that wonderful, wonderful looking to God I'll read it in whatever a separated relationship to God. Verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God. and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord of Almighty. Now, then, with a don't want to, no period, sliding down, chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these encouraging words, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting, completing, bringing to its fullness holiness in the fear of God. In the fear of God, holiness. A unique, wonderful relationship that God has made possible. Being sanctified, set apart to enjoy God. Over if I can in Peter. First Peter, and chapter 3. And put our little words in what we've been doing together. 1 Peter 3. Here we are as believers. Chapter 3, if I can, in verse 14. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror. We're going to get you, going to kill you. Don't be afraid. Neither be troubled and all upset. Don't do that. Don't do that. Let God be your fear. How so? Verse 15. Think of what you read in Isaiah 8. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I'm going to do. I'm going to answer. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I got a great God. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him like the three Meshach, Rech, and Abednego. I'm going to trust him. And Nebuchadnezzar says, you better bow down. You're going in the fiery furnace. And the three of them said, so be it. If we go in the fiery furnace, then no problem. No problem. And we aren't going to bow down. We aren't going to bow down. And by the way, if you throw us in the fiery furnace, then we won't have to talk to you anymore. We'll be all finished. And so, do whatever you want with us. We fear God. We aren't bowing down. Daniel, what did you do? Darius, what do you want? What do they want? They want to get him. They want to trick him and get him at Daniel in the lion's den. And Darius said, no, no, no. And Darius said, I know God, because after all, here's what he saw with the three friends kept in the fiery furnace. And he's encouraged. The God, Daniel's God is something else. Your God, is he something else? So, and Daniel went, and he said, your God can save you from the lions. And he did, in a most wonderful way. So therefore, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. 1 Peter chapter 1, and you recall verse 15, but he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. We have a unique relationship to God. Exercise it. And here we are on planet Earth, verse 17, if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning. You're an alien, an alien. You don't have citizenship, that's the word. You're here, a foreigner, no citizenship. You're passing through, past the time of your sojourning, as pilgrims, strangers, past the time of your sojourning here, also in fear. In fear. Fear God. Fear God. And the wonderment of that fear, we don't have time to do it. We did. Just think of Psalm 100. You want to read? Practice fearing God. Psalm 139, you know. Where can I go to get away from God? Up, down, in, out. There's nowhere, God, that you aren't. So the only thing I can do, God, Psalm 139, verse 16, your thoughts about me are more than the sand of the sea. And God, I can't escape you. I'm going to fear you rightly, which changes my character and conduct so that I come boldly to thy throne of grace. And I come, God, in fear, sanctifying, God, there's no one like you. So everything around me is going to drive me, push me to you, and push, and everything around me is going to push me into you. God, that's what I'm doing. I fear you, and there's no way to get away from you. So I'm going to honor it. Huh?